I want to talk some trash talk tonight. How's that sound? Man, there's a lot of talk going on right now, isn't there? There's a lot of pontificating about where we are. You know, I'm grateful, and I'll just comment, you know, whether you like our president or not, there's some things that he's doing that are being effective. And, you know, we were watching the State of the Union address, and he likes to make these bombastic, you know, statements, doesn't he? But I loved his last monologue there at the end, where he's just declaring how great America is and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I turned to Pastor Kim, and I said, all these things just became possible, not just because they were possible, but because he said them. And there's something about some trash talk that is necessary, that even though there's the capacity is there, something needs to be said that'll make that happen. And so I just want to touch on some of this. I got several of Pat. This happens. And what inspired me with this was our reading this week from Psalms. And for some reason, I just saw that, and it was so much fun. It's almost he's going, hello, hills. What are you doing before the voice of God? How can you even stand before the voice of God? And he's kind of taunting, you know, anything that could stand before God, and said, in the presence of God, you are nothing. And it almost sounds like Trump. It's like, there's nothing before, nothing since, or, you know, we're the best ever, right? It's like, oh, sheesh, he's putting the bar pretty high. What happens when he goes, you know? Anyway, I think there's an aspect of this because I was, you know, it's so good to magnify God like we have been tonight and sing of your faithfulness. And we really need, it's like Lindsay was saying, we really need to think about those things. Because in our lives, we're not, we need to acknowledge God in everything, but there's this other numbskull that's in our life all the time that we have an enemy that's wanting to impress us with his stuff. And you know what? We're not just supposed to ignore him. We're supposed to have something to say to him. And so I want to look at it and call it some trash talk. Is that all right? Can we trash talk the devil a little bit? So help me with this. We're going to discover some stuff together. Is that all right? I think it's going to, because sometimes I think we can feel like we just got to talk to ourselves. We got to talk to God. Sometimes we need to talk to our enemy. Amen? Because he's talking to us. He's always trash talking us. Is that right? That's all he has is trash. Is that right? He didn't have anything else. All he can do is lie. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we have our life in you, Father. And we just thank you so much for it. And that it's not just a facade. It's real. And so, Father, I thank you that you'd bring us to that truth from different directions. And, Father, we just want to open up ourselves and say, God, help us to see what we might have already been knowing, but help us to see it in a way that we can apply it, Father, and make it effective. We thank you, God, that you're causing us right now to be triumphant in everything. And the reality is that we are more than overcomers. The reality is that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, I thank you that reality just kind of needs some of our trash talk sometimes. And so Father, I pray that you'd help us to be effective in this, that we become defiant against our enemy, but not just from ourselves, but we come from the Holy Spirit within us to be effective for your glory. God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about this, you know, we got all these goats now. We got Tom Brady, but the goat from basketball was Michael Jordan, right? And he's still, of all the other great guys that we come along, Michael Jordan is still the one, right? And there was something that said about him, and I just got some help on looking at what this was, and you can go into more detail. But something that he had that made him great, it was a very much of a Trump thing, I believe. Is he was capable, but what really launched him into, when you get into a battle, it's not just being capable, it's getting the reality out for your sake and for the enemy's sake. So what they said about him is he was the king of trash talk. He said, even to his own teammates sometimes, he could almost be cruel to them. And it said he took every competition very personally, and I was thinking about this. We're not supposed to become contentious, even to those that don't know the Lord, but we're supposed to take it personal if we're getting told that we're any less than we are. Does that make sense? And so it's not enough to just know it. You got to get in there because the battle is in the mouth. as great as he was, what made him really great was what he had to say about it and what it was doing to his opponents. If you can get that in that opponent's head, isn't that amazing? If you can get in the head of your opponent. Now, the inverse is true too. And this is all the enemy has against us. If he can get in our head, he's got he's got doctor's reports, he's got bank statements, he's got, you know, what Myrtle said about us on our mother's side. You know, it's like, it's amazing about, you know, what somebody can say about you and how it can take, you know, like that song that I sang. Can I sing it real quick? Yeah. The sun ain't shining on a happy day. Nothing but troubles coming my way ever since you said those words to me. Wilt thou? And so I'm wilted now. Anyway, isn't that stupid? Anyway, that's all it can take for just a misperception of something, you know, and it can take all the wind out of yourself. And what is the reality of that? Nothing. It was just in your head. Is that right? So, let's look at this. In the enemy's talk, there are lies and accusations that challenge. What are they doing? They're really challenging your identity, aren't they? And this is what goes to the core of who you are. He's not just saying you failed. No, you're a failure. Is that right? He's wanting to lay your past or even your present, not just upon you, but upon your identity. And it's based upon misinformation. I love this misinformation. I won't get into that, but while our spirit isn't contentious, so we don't want to get riled up in ourselves. And this is one thing that I think we have to be careful when we're looking at this. It doesn't help to get mad at the devil and just start filthing and fouling him, you know, cursing him out of yourself. And we're going to see that there's a basis for our trash talk. It's based upon something that's a reality. And it's kind of cool because we sang about it tonight. Let's see. Our nature needs to be competitive. I think this is what there's a necessity for this competitive nature to rise up. You're not going to beat me at this. You know, I just want to give a little testimony for myself, and I think it's a godly thing. But this thing happened with my heart, and it's like, I got the doctors, and you know, you try to be honorable to these people that went to school for so long to tell you that you just have to have these five medications. You know, it's like, you went to school all that time just to tell me that this is all I need. Yeah, I'm sorry, but by the way, I found a doctor that I'm going to go to that's not locked into that, so I'm excited about that. Because some, you know, you still need to have some oversight. I want to have somebody just to document my recovery and prove it, you know, by the testing and whatnot. But I just want to tell you, when I went through this stuff and I found out this medication wasn't working for me, I started getting a little upset about this, you know? And we're not just going to roll over. The medication was making me feel yuck, taking all my strength. You know, it's like, and you tell me I have to do this the rest of my life? This is a competition, right? And you have to get competitive about this. This didn't come from God. Amen. And so, and then I started speaking to my heart, and I still am. And you know what? Things have to fall in line. But there needs to be this competitive thing. We just don't let things happen in our life or just get frustrated or just try to do them in our own strength either. But there needs to be an understanding of why we're going to win. And then we get to trash talking. Amen? We start talking to that thing and saying, you ain't nothing. So we got some good stuff for this. Okay, taking everything personal and applying every aspect of our triumph in Christ to every area of accusation. So what's the enemy doing? His accusations aren't just accusing of us of sin. They're accusing us. And here's the cool thing about the victory over sin is sin has all the curses associated with it. So you take care of sin, and now there's no curse that you have to have either. Amen? So when the enemy's coming against us, he's saying, you deserve that sickness. Look at how bad you are, man. You know? Hell, yeah, I guess I am. All right, let's keep going. So the lies come continually, and how are they overcome? And we sang about this. They're overcome by revelation of your identity. And it's so good to get that revelation. But I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but this is an expanding revelation for me. And it needs to continue. And it's helped by what I have to say. And again, I think a big part of Michael Jordan and our president, for them to do what they do, they have an identity, but until it comes out of their mouth, it's not going to be everything it needs to be. Every time he says how great he is and how he did this and how he did that, you know what? It's causing him to be able to step into what he's going to do too. And it is lighting a fire under his enemies. Don't you know they're trembling? When? When he says this stuff. Is that right? This happened for Michael Jordan too. You know what? He was great. But something about saying it brings it to life in your mind, in your ability to be it. And then all of a sudden, you're flying through the air and dunking over people and whatnot. And it's like, why? Well, you said it. It's like, you can't help it. I'm sorry I said it, all right? So, and we're familiar with this passage, but I think it brings some revelation to what this is. Jesus has done something for us. We are already Michael Jordan. We're already Donald Trump. All we need to do is trash talk. Okay? Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ have come. That means it's already established, right? It's already, he's already won. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. What's the battle? The battle is in the accusations, isn't it? But how'd they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what does the blood of the Lamb do? That changes your identity, doesn't it? But if you don't have a revelation of what that means, you crumble before the accusations. So what it takes is not just the reality of the blood. It takes the declaration of it. And that's what the testimony is. So what is the testimony? It's going to be, again, I like what Lindsay was saying. There's going to be, we have so much from the Word of God that we can go back and point at the, say, devil, look at what happened over here. And that's a really big thing that we need to utilize. But there needs to be this discovery of God's involvement in my life. Man, I was getting some revelation of this just the other day. I was out walking Tebow. And that guy, man, he's huffing and a puffing, but he's just keep going. I just got this revelation of the presence of God through my life. And I just started getting so happy, you know, and it's like, this is what we have, but it requires stirring those things up where God has been through your life, you know? Because what the enemy wants to do is just paint clouds of doom and despair and agony on me and wilt down so you wilt. And, you know, it's like all these kind of things. And there is a reality of God's presence, the power of the blood. He's removed everything that could have a hold on us. Amen? And so those recalling those things, even relationships in our life and the faithfulness of God through these things, you know what? It will demolish the power of condemnation, of oppression. Amen? But it has to be declared, doesn't it? Because it's not just the blood of the Lamb. It's by the word of their testimony. What are they doing? And we're going to look at some examples of this. But I want to call it trash talk. It's like, devil, don't you see what he's done? How can you tempt me with being depressed about that? Can't you see what God's already done? And he's just going to do it again. Amen? Because when you ever get into court, what's going on? It's a declaration of things that have happened that are determining judgment, right? About a present condition. And if you don't have any, if you don't have anything to say about what's been done, the prosecution can just get up there and say whatever they want to say. And we actually had that happen. We had a lawyer for Hayden in his custody thing, and that lawyer didn't have anything to say every time. It's like all this money spent for nothing. And it's, I think God's thinking about that sometimes. Say, come on. I paid the blood for this. I need you to say something. Amen? All right. So David's victory, how many familiar with David's victory? Was far before the stone flew. Did you ever think about this? His victory was a Michael Jordan victory. He was trash talking before the stone ever took flight. It was in the revelation of his. He had to know who he was, right? And this is what set him apart from all the rest of the army. It doesn't matter and this is the only thing that concerns me about America right now is we got so much dependence upon our military. And we better be trusting in something more than our military, right? So let me just read this. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. He was trying to use this trash talk himself, wasn't he? Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. What's he doing? It looks this way. It's the doctor's report. It's the bank account. Right? Who do you think you are, you peon? Right? You don't have any money. Look at you coughing there. Right? Look at you having a heart issue. It's like, no, you don't know who I am. Right? David was not impressed by all this blustering. But he had to do something himself. The battle happened right in this time. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and there will be nothing like it ever before. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. Isn't that cool? This is the Lord's battle. And he will give you to us. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to God, is he? He's talking to his enemy. Amen? How critical was this? I don't think we'd be accolading David like we do if he didn't have some trash talk in his mouth. Amen? And he didn't hold it back. Isn't it going to be some of these movies they're coming out with now about David? They're really cool. They're pretty amazing, but man, it's really going to be good to get the actual replay, right? They actually go and wouldn't it be nice to, you know, actually do a time lapse thing or something, actually smell everything? And yeah, that might kind of stink. But man, those battles, they're brutal. You know, we don't depend on the sword and spear, but boy, they sure used it, you know. In the praise of the Lord, there can be specific questioning of the opposition's legitimacy. So this is our psalm reading from this week. I'm going to read through it because I love it. It's just fun. It's like, yeah, get him. Psalm 114. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, when the family of Jacob left that foreign land, the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel became his kingdom. The Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. Don't you like that? He gets poetic about this. The water of the Jordan River turned away. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea, that made you hurry out of their way? What happened, Jordan River, that you turned away? Why mountains did you skip like rams? Why hills like lambs? He even put a little rhyme in there to make it fun. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. He turned the rock into a pool of water. Isn't this amazing? Do you realize how powerful this kind of stuff can be? What's he doing? He's talking to anything that looks like it might be an impassable barrier. Is that right? He said, when God shows up, I want to remind you what happened in the past. Amen? And you know, the only disadvantage for us is we weren't there at the time. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter if you were. Did you know how many people were there at the time and forgot and started whining and complaining and jumping on the wine wagon and complaining with their enemy? You know? No, you got to keep it in your mouth. You got to keep it in your vision. You got to keep it towards your enemy and recognizing who the enemy is when he's coming. Sometimes we would just want to say, well, I'm just saying what's happening. No, you're not. You're affirming the river's flowing is all you're doing. Oh, the river's flowing. Don't you understand? I just want to remind you what happened to the river when God showed up. Amen? This can become a part of our praise. I believe it needs to be an integral part of our private praise, especially in the face of the enemy. Amen. How do we fight our battles? We praise, don't we? Amen. And again, what I like is we praise in the face of our enemy. Who did they put in front of them when they went out to battle? Praisers. And I've always thought, well, they're out there praising God. Do you know who they might have been talking to? Their enemy. Amen. Y'all don't know where we just came from. We came through a sea. We came through a river. They're singing those kind of things. And don't you know the enemy's hearing this? The praises of a God who's delivered them before. Amen? All right. All right, let's keep going. So 1 Corinthians 2. When obstacles arise that would inhibit and prohibit progress, questions should rise about their past effectiveness. This might be something that you know, we're in the middle of and we don't have any recent thing to go back on, but we've got so many things that we can say, look what God has done. Amen? And that's really kind of the basis for that song, look what the Lord has done, and you move your feet as fast as you can. You know, that's part of what that is, but what are we doing? And a lot of times we just want to laugh at each other and we just want... We need to be doing this to our enemy, don't we? Enemy, look what the Lord has done. You're trying to get me down right now. You're trying to get me out of faith right now. I want you to look what the Lord has done. Amen? Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with the words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. This is, you know, we went to the Palace of Versailles, you know, when I don't know if anybody's been there, but it's, man, it's an amazing palace. Anyway, and you go through there and there's all these images of people that thought they were something when they were alive. You know what I mean? That just kind of hit me. I thought, you know what? Even the king that built it, you know, Louis the 14th, he wanted to display to the world that he was the richest man in the world. And all he was doing was destroying his nation to build this monstrosity that would be lost two kings later because the country ran out of money, you know. It's like, you know, even the images that were portrayed him, the guy that was taking us through there said, that really wasn't how he looked. You know, he said, when you sculpt me, make me look like this. You know, it's like, no, that's really not how he was. But really, all of this stuff, I mean, the leader of Iran was a hotshot till Saturday, right? You know what I mean? The things that the enemy wants to put before us and make us look like, they're going to be gone. Is that right? So he's saying this, who are soon forgotten. All this thing, all this wisdom from the world that can cause. I think we have to be careful about even how we're assessing the events in the world right now. That we don't get upset about them. We say, even so, Lord Jesus, come, yeah. Amen. And we get excited because we know where we're going, and we're victorious through all of it. Amen? No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. And this is what we have in him. Amen? His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. And this is the thing. What we have in God is something that the world still doesn't understand. And we're not going to get any feedback from the world that's going to support us in this. We have to be declaring it to the world. Because the world's not giving, all it's giving us is a bunch of junk. Is that right? If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. I think this could be something we could just na-na-na-na-na-na in the enemy's face. You think you're trying to tell me something right now? You didn't even know that you were crucifying Jesus to become our Savior. What kind of dimwit are you? You know what I mean? There needs to be a looking down on this enemy that we think we have, rather than exalting him at all. Is that right? That is when the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I'd just like you to know, devil, that you don't even have any idea what's already mine. And I am victorious right now. Amen? I like that one. We can just throw that in his face, can't we? All right, Isaiah 41. Present the case for your idols, says the Lord. Let them show what they can do, says the king of Israel. Let them try to tell us what happened long ago so that we may consider the evidence. Or let them tell us what the future holds so we can know what's going to happen. Yes, tell us what will occur in the days ahead. Then we will know you are gods. In fact, do anything, good or bad. Don't you like this attitude? Do something that will amaze and frighten us, please. But no, you are less than nothing and can do nothing at all. Don't you like that? Those who choose you pollute themselves. Oh, there's a necessity, isn't there? That we're not going to join. We're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to be the declarers. Amen? Praise God. All right. Areas of natural opposition need to be seen for what they are before the breath of God and are taken down with this declaration. So they need to be seen, and then they need to be taken down. So 2 Corinthians, and we're familiar with this. I like the context, though, that we're talking about tonight around this, because the enemy, that's all he has is high places of accusations. And we have, unless we take them down, they're going to stay there. And even right now, there's things that he's put in our minds, in our perception of things, that they will remain there unless we take them down. Is that right? Okay, let's look at this. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy. What is that? That's a lie, isn't it? And this is all the enemy has, right? A deceptive fantasy that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. How many are familiar with this passage? We take captive every high thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. So I've done this before, and taking those thoughts, and we speak the word over them, don't we? But I think there's a part of it that needs to be actually talking to the adversity with them. Amen? And realize that they have a source that needs to be addressed. It's an evil one. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who may... What's he roaring? He's roaring high thoughts. And how do you resist him? Not just by confessing, you know, Psalm 91. No, you push him back by telling him where he's at. Amen? He's brought down by the reality of who I am, by the blood of Jesus, and where he's fixing to go. Is that right? In obedience. That means I'm not going to go along with this nonsense. I'm going to declare the obedience of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Amen? All right. To every thought that would demean and defeat, overcome by the talk of who we are versus who he is. 2 Corinthians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And I know, you know, we're all the faith people right here. But it's easy to fall into this notion, you know, even some of the things we go through where it would seem to be a failure of faith, and to accept something that's less than what God said. We say, oh, And this happens all the time. This happens with the some of the gender things. And we've experienced this before. It's not an issue until you actually know somebody that's going through something, right? The issue with abortion, you know, it's like it's amazing how people can change their perception of truth based upon knowing somebody that's going through something. And as long as what's happening with that, a defeat is taking place. The roaring lion has made his way. As soon as you capitulate and say, okay, I guess that's right, based upon an experience rather than the word of God. And the only way you overcome that is to declare it with some trash talk. Amen? Yeah. Becomes very necessary. So I just want to look at a couple here. Are you good? Is everybody still awake kind of? All right. In Colossians, it talks about some things that we can just claim. We have such a multitude of who we are in Christ, all these kinds of things. But my main thing that I just want to look at tonight is sometimes we need to talk to our enemy with these things. Amen? And it might be something we're already doing, but to just be encouraged in it, that we need to rise up above. We need to see ourselves as seated in heavenly places. But then we need to yak like we are. Has anybody ever gone, you can tell who the parents are at a wrestling match, right? You can look around. Does anybody go to a wrestling match? Where I grew up, in high school, we had really good wrestling. And you hear the parents yelling. You hear you see them, turn him over, turn him over. But there's a necessity for the more we're in it, for us to be vocal in it and declaring something to the enemy. Amen? Amen. Okay. Oh, I already read that first one, didn't I? Okay, let me look at this. Let me read that first part again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Man, revelation, necessity, magnified. Amen? But this is the reality. And you are what? Complete in him. That means there's nothing that you can make a place for. There's no excuse for anything else according to what's been done, right? Who is the head of all principality and power. Man, this is a major reality, isn't it? This is who we are. But I've done this a lot in my life. I traveled with Mark and Trina for like a year and a half. And I had I think we had one of the first year Rhema Bible students was from our church. And he came home, and man, he got me a Rolodex card thing with all the memory verses to memorize everything about who you are in Christ and everything. And here's the thing, you can become full of all the information about it, but till it becomes spewed from your mouth, not just for you. Because I became more frustrated about that. It's like, but I am this, but I am this, but I'm not experiencing this. But does anybody ever identify with any of that? It's like, yeah. And I think there's a necessity for there to be that declaration to the enemy. Amen? For that notion that you're anything less to be attacked by who you are. Amen? And I am complete in him. And that was part of the... And I'm so grateful that this revelation keeps happening. But that was part of my Tebow walk experience the other day. It's like, oh, yeah. This really is, And I think it has to get to that place where you're totally resting in it. Amen? And then when the enemy comes along, you're not trying to remember something and trying to use some kind of formula. You're David. Don't you know who I am? I'm complete in Christ. And you're coming from that wisdom that couldn't even see Jesus coming. That's the kind of stuff, nonsense you're trying to give at me. You're trying to tell me that I'm a failure because of this thing in my life? No, I'm complete in Christ. And I just want you to know that. And it needs to be something that's coming out of our mouth towards our enemy. That's the main thing I want to get across tonight, because I've done a whole lot of it for myself. But in the declaration to your enemy, it's like Michael Jordan could sit there on the bench and tell himself how great he is all day long, but until he gets in somebody's face and starts telling them that, it means something completely different. Amen? Get competitive about it. You're not going to get this over on me. I'm telling you something right now. Is that right? And you are complete in him. Okay, and I got one more here. Alive together with him in his triumph, over and disarming of every opposition. Man, this passage is so powerful. Religious things can keep weights on us. And it's just it's a battle. It can become a battle, and it can be something you just never quite overcome. But it's good to know and to throw in the face of your enemy that he's been disarmed. Amen? And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh. So, yeah, that's the way. Yeah, oh, you got me there. I was dead. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Don't you like that? There is nothing you have on me, Mr. Devil, Mr. Toothless Lion. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. What is this? This is the blood of the Lamb, isn't it? It's the power that we've been given by the blood of Jesus. This is who we become. Amen? And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen? Now, this is some really good teaching, some good information to get, but it needs to become the subject of your confrontation in the face of the enemy. Amen? The way this is presented, it's presented as information. The way we need to utilize it is in declaration. Amen? Especially at the time of difficulty. We have something to say, don't we? We need to be saying it, declaring it. Even with a little bit of attitude, might not. We might want to imitate somebody, right? Because until we say it, doesn't matter how much it's been provided for, we just give up by default. Is that right? That's not who we are. We're competitive. We fight. Amen? There's a fight of faith to fight. I thought it was already all done. No, we got to fight. Even Goliath on that day, God needed David out there, didn't he? God needs us to open our mouth, and then whatever's in our hands is going to be God's tool, because the battle is the Lord's. He just needs our mouth. He needs our mouth to declare, amen? And before that stone ever flies, our mouth is going to be flying, declaring who we are and who the devil is, where we're going, where he's going, amen? And we are triumphant in Christ. Praise God.